World Cup.
Right. Our apologies for the division of players. Knowing that they come down to second, they can afford to delay their penalty. So we wanted to make adjustments where we stuck. But we expect to have an early morning today.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and a very good morning to all present. Chair, my name is Dev Spamrand, currently serving as a Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. I think, Chair, maybe before I allow the introduction process to continue, I'm going to request that, because the early arrangement was such that we will start the SCOPA, and then from there I will be allowed to join the Cabinet Committee meeting. So I will request that you allow me to go and join the Cabinet Committee meeting, and then at an appropriate time I will then be called to come and attend the SCOPA session. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, members, colleagues, thank you very much. My name is Andres Nell. I'm the Deputy Minister for Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, responsible for provincial and local government. I would like to make a similar request. I had understood that we were going to start at 9, so I was just need to attend to the matters that I thought I would be attending to later.
Good morning. I'm Dorothy Snyman from the Department of Waters and Governance, Chief Financial Officer. Good morning. I'm Sunita Ramanan, Department of Waters and Governance, Internal Audit.
Good morning. My name is Nkun Gadi. I'm with the Department of Cooperative Governance. I'm currently acting National Program Manager for the Community Health Program.
Good morning, Lebohan Tekane, Parliamentary Liaison Officer for the Ministry.
Morning all, my name is Inga Mulder, I'm the CFO at FANROM.
Morning, everybody. I'm Chris Smith, the acting CEO for Sonoro.
Morning, Chairperson of members of the Office of SCOPA and the Honorable Minister and the Deputy Minister. My name is Roshan Mora, I'm the Chair of the Board of SCOPA.
Morning, my name is Alison Lawless. I'm the Chair of ARC for FANROM.
Morning, my name is Dumisani Manuleke, I'm the Deputy CFO for Ensign.
Good morning everyone, Johannes Makhatu, Compliance and Risk Officer, Sandra.
Yeah, let's proceed.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, members of the committee and colleagues. I'm Prashant Mohan, the Chief Director of Road Infrastructure Development, the National Department of Transport.
Good morning, all. My name is Kumari Nanka. I'm a Senior Manager at the Auditor General, responsible for the audit of SANRA.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Hilda Slaver, the Senior Manager at the Auditor General, responsible for the Department of the Office of Governance and Traditional Affairs.
All right, comrades.
Good morning, Minister, Deputy Minister, fellow members. My name is David Ross. I'm a member of the SCOPA Committee.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joyce Maluleke, member of the COPTA Committee.
Le Macheroni, Le Abraham Lefe Madao, the member of COPTA.
Morning, everyone. Tomo Viomende, member of the committee.
My name is Susan Smith.
My name is Amos Masondo. I'm a member of the court.
Good morning, Chair and everybody. My name is Sandy Kengala, a member of SCOPA.
Right. And legislation, we feel it should be an area of priority. But not only for us to come and talk about it as usual and go away. We are determined as a committee that instances of non-compliance must actually be intensely focused on with the intention of ensuring that they are eliminated. Eliminated by ensuring that officials do the right thing, but most importantly that in case they don't, they are held accountable. And we know that the greatest challenge in public administration is the issue around consequence management. And we are here to say that the accounting officers or accounting authority must hold officials accountable and must demonstrate to us that they are indeed doing that. If they don't, then we look up to you, Cumbrick Minister, to say you have an acting DG who allows officials to do as they please. You have a responsibility to him or her to ensure that this is done. But if you also can't be responsive, then we'll obviously go and report to the Speaker, because we're a committee of Parliament, to say, here are the laws, here are the regulations. We're not finding joy from anybody, whether accounting officers or accounting authority. Because for us, Parliament will stand or fall in its ability to ensure that there is accountability, there is consequence management for officials who don't follow policies and regulations. But it is at the same time important for us to say, well, here are the problems, let's sit down, let's talk. Talk to us. What happened? Why did things happen this way? So that we can be at the same level with you, but also so you could also appreciate the concerns coming from Parliament. And we have sought to interest law enforcement agencies to our work, to say all these cases might involve, you know, mere oversight by officials, which management should deal with. But in instances where there are clear cases of criminality, we are wary of leaving everything at the hands of accounting officers to take them forward, because seemingly they don't have the appetite to do so, or they just don't have the system to identify instances and cases of fraud and outright criminality insofar as public finances are concerned. We have that understanding, we have that agreement, and last week we were able to pick up one or two or three or four cases, three of which were done with the concurrence of the departments during the hearing, that actually we'll be happy if the Hawks can assist us on this one. And well, we're waiting to hear from them after they've done their investigation. They'll report to us what they found. Whether they take that to the NPA or not, that becomes another process, but at least we would have satisfied ourselves that indeed there was criminal intent or criminal action so far as this or that transaction was concerned. So we are therefore engaging within that context. That's where we are. That's where we're at. Now, we'll start with SANRAL, the South African National Growth Agency, an entity within the Department of Transport, which we have the pleasure of having today, not having had any engagement with them. Of course, those of us who drive, we engage them on the roads in Gauteng, but never in this format. So we're happy to have you, and welcome. I will hand over to Comrade Mente to start our engagement. Just to indicate that we have read your presentation. We've understood it. So whatever issues she's going to raise will be grey areas that need assistance with some element of clarity. We prefer short and pointed answers so we can quickly dispose of this matter and focus on other issues. Yeah, let me hand over to you, Comrade.
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, Chairperson, firstly, I would like to just pose two questions to the head of SANRAL. The committee wrote to you requesting information, outlined the information as stipulated on the letter of your irregular expenditure as identified by the Auditor General. Now, in your response, you go to all the areas that the Auditor General has indicated. Then in your conclusion, you say, enclosed hereto is an Excel spreadsheet which details the breakdown that lead to the so-called irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, which information includes everything else that you have listed. Now, my question to you is, why do you refer to it as a so-called irregular expenditure? Do you understand the mandate of the Auditor General?
Yes, Chair. Chair of the Board, I mean, what she's reading from is signed off by the Chairperson of the Board.
Thank you, Chairperson. To the Honourable Member. Yeah,
just talk a little closer to
sure.
The mic.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Chairperson and Honourable Member, the reference to the so-called and the word so-called is a matter of interpretation in terms of the definition. So if we go back into...
Well, that's fine. I think he wants you to finish us with your interpretation.
Okay.
So we can
so
understand
we
why
have,
you...
Yeah, we have a misunderstanding between the Auditor General and ourselves in terms of the interpretation of the manner and the benchmark that we had utilized on the routine road maintenance program, which Sandral implemented since 2002.
But have you signed off the annual report?
Yes.
Accepting everything in that document?
No, that's correct.
So why do you bring up the disagreement on interpretation when you have submitted to Parliament your annual report accepting the findings of the Auditor General?
I think the discussion of the Auditor General over a period of time has been that we've relied on the University of Pretoria.
I understand. I'm just saying that your annual report submitted to Parliament implied that all things contained in that report are things that you are aware of, that you are in agreement with. So why are you raising it as a point of dispute here with us? What do you want us to do with that? We're not here to resolve any dispute here with the Auditor General.
Okay. So, Chairperson, after all intensive discussions and et cetera, we finally agreed with the Auditor General.
But if you agreed, why then do you still use so-called?
We apologize for the word so-called, but the references are made that the background of the program. So I think we apologize for the word so-called.
Why didn't you apologize from the beginning? Because you're trying to explain to us why you used it, because you have a difference of interpretation.
Yes, Jim, we just wanted to sketch the background of you as to what gave rise to the irregular expenditure, specifically that. And the Sandro, at all point in time...
All right. No, it's fine. You see, I think the point that she's raising is that sentence gave us an impression that actually you don't agree with the findings of the Auditor General, and that you're actually going to be discussing this with some element of reluctance, because you are not sold to the idea that this is a regular expenditure. And as you see, that's the first question, which means the sense we're having is that we're engaging from a very negative perspective. Unfortunately, that's... No, it's fine. Let me hear this completely.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, Chairperson, listening to what the chair of the board say. You see, sir, here you account. We don't go to and fro between you and us. You account here. This is Parliament. And you're accounting to SCOP. You're skeptic of how you want to treat the Auditor General. Don't enter our frame. Here, we don't allow that. because we take our report from the Auditor General. The Auditor General told us that you did irregular expenditure. We don't second guess him. You see. So quite clearly what they are going to be telling us, they are going to be telling us a report of second guess. We are not taking the Auditor General serious. And maybe what we should do really as Parliament is ready to go to ask you to go and re-look at this report in a more solid way and tell us exactly what have you done in Zambran and give us a proper explanation rather than sit at here and listening to you second guessing the Auditor General. That can't be allowed. We don't allow any institution of governance to be undermined by any other person because we believe and we work with the Auditor General, the scope. We can hear you exchanging with our chairperson and trying to give us your nice views. That doesn't happen with us. What the Honorable Member is telling you is a reflection of what we want to hear. What is your understanding? That the Auditor General reports back to Parliament and you are supposed to be answering questions that are related to that particular report. If you are second guessing that report, then quite clearly you have to go home. And we can then engage you when you're quite ready. We will call you definitely back. That's what we would recommend, Chairperson.
Okay.
Chairman, if I may, I apologize.
Just hang on. Welcome, General. Welcome. You know, comrade, what I want us to do, I want to allow comrade Mende, because she has raised certain issues with me this morning. I would like her to raise as a preface to the substance whatever issues and observations she has, and then we can then take it up from there with Sandra. Yes, Comrade.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. The explanation you gave is the very same angle that I am looking at the situation from. Because if we are to engage Sandra at a very fair manner, we cannot engage you with a conclusion that says so-called. It's either you are here or you go home. Because right now, Auditor General is represented in the House. And the Auditor General will confirm that you signed off your financials, you presented them to Parliament, you owned them. Now, when you come to SCOPA, we are not called SCOPA for fun. We are SCOPA because we must investigate public pest. It's the money of the people. You must come here with a clear mind, and you must come here because you are willing to do the work with the public funds, not with your money. Now, your so-called here leads to another area. The letter that was sent to you indicated the areas that we want to check, which is, according to the AG, you have irregular expenditure of 1.1 billion. That's not a cent. And in that 1.1 billion, we wanted you to tell us, how did it become an irregular expenditure? You send us this spreadsheet, which says nothing. It's coded project numbers. Now you are subjecting us to ask you, project number one, what's the name of that project? Who's dealing with it? And we asked who signed off the money, not the initiator of the project. You give us the project manager's name. The status of your investigation, it's there. But you further, now going to my second question, you further pose an allegation of not understanding the triple PFA, which has led to your deviation. Treasury is here, Chair.
Not here, unfortunately.
Not here. Oh, that's... I wish Treasury was here as the custodian of the triple PFA and its regulations. It's clear the document is very big. I couldn't bring it along with me. But it's very clear. It gives you a point system. And it also stipulates from 30,000 rand all the way to 1 million and all those things. But you have an allegation that you do not understand, hence the deviation. you further contradict yourself in your own presentation, page 8, that in 2013, the AG declared whatever method, because due to your non-understanding of the PPPFA, you assumed your own systems of working. It's here on your opening of the presentation. You say, therefore, because you do not understand, it's subjected to you assuming or guessing whatever amount. And your guessing and whatever, you have been using it through the University of Pretoria and everything. However, you contradict yourself that in 2013, the AG declared the method non-compliant. 2013, now we are in 2016. You're still using the same method, which then gave you the deviations again. Now my question is, between 2013 and now, the door of the AG is open, the door of the Treasury is open, and as an accounting officer, you have a mandate to ensure that you prevent irregular expenditure. Any irregular, wasteful, or unauthorized, did you interact with the AG's office to correct this? And if you done so, why do we get a spreadsheet with 3 pages of the deviations?
All right. Yes, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Member. I will reply and ask the CFO to then add on. Yes, that's correct. In 2013, the Auditor General for the first time had expressed an opinion, and when they expressed that opinion, we then reacted on that. So all these contracts that were awarded were 3-year contracts. So some were 3 years, some were 5 years. Predominantly, most of them were 3 years. So as you would look in terms of the disclosure from 2013 to 2016, the amount of the irregular expenditure has been reducing. So we can confirm that for 2017 financial year, it will be the last year of the end of those contracts. So to date, for the 6 months up to August 2016, the expenditure has been about 108 million. So in terms of our provisions and our expectations, we can safely confirm that the irregular expenditure for 2017 year would not exceed 220 million rand approximately. So the minute we came in 2013, we then implemented what the Auditor General opinion, and we stopped the contract. We stopped awarding new contracts. Chairperson, honourable members, we could not cancel the contracts because that would then lead to litigation and etc. Okay, CFO, I'm not sure if you would like to add on to that.
All right. Before I give the CFO, Comrade Deputy Minister, welcome. Welcome. All right. You want to make an addition, ma'am? All right.
Thank you, Chair. Yes. At the point that the AG indicated that their interpretation is the lowest, is the absolute lowest level, we engaged with both the AG and National Treasury in terms of what we are doing with this specific program and our aim and the objective. We had extensive engagements for almost 2.5 years to see how best to apply this method because of the impact it has on the SMMEs. But at that point of the AG confirming that they regard this as non-compliant, we immediately stopped awarding all further contracts in this manner. What we have done since is to contribute to the current draft legislation on the PPPFA, specifically on this methodology, in order to see whether there's a way that we can still continue that because of the impact it has on the SMEs.
All right. Yes, Comrade.
No, I'm not getting a sense of the correction of the method. They've stopped everything else. I want to know, are you still continuing with your method? or you corrected the method, or did you seek advice on which method you have to calculate the issuing of tenders and everything? Do you have a correct method in place?
Yeah, yes, I can confirm that we immediately corrected the method. So all contracts, that the tenders that went out since 2013 was on the corrected method. So all the new routine road maintenance contracts since 2013 is on the corrected method as accepted by both the AG and National Treasury.
Okay, I get that. Chairperson, now here's my problem. We want to talk about rands and cents. We want to talk about these deviations. We want to identify culprits. Because irregular expenditure, as much as it's not necessarily meaning that money was misused, but it also means money was misused. You have coded the projects. Perhaps it's your own mechanism within the company. But for us, it's an inconvenience. Now, I'm unable to talk to the money here. I do not know how did you understand the letter from the chairperson of the SCOPA. I'm seriously, chairperson, unable to abstract money and talk to the companies, talk to the responsible person, talk to anything. We have 3 pages with one explanation, which is the method that they did not understand. And then we have other pages where there is indication of people, like page 3. This thing is not numbered, but if you go to
the third page.
No, it's not. It's not this third. It's the fourth page. The fourth page. If you go to the fourth page, it starts with the Women's Day speaker. But the others are coded. Now, you can't. There should be a substance to each and everything. And we need to know there is money attached to each code. And we need to identify if the money was used fairly or was misused. For instance, here, Women's Day speaker. You outsourced a Women's Day speaker for $3,200. Really, there is even the deputy minister, she's a woman. She could have spoken. You outsource Women's Day speaker. It's like outsourcing a reverend to come and preach a church.
Where do you see that?
It's on the fourth page. On the presentation, there's 3, one after the other, and then they are at 27,000, the total price they are not. But here, there's Pick and Pay, then there's Pick and Pay, then there was Tswane Optical Technology, what?
I'm still trying.
On the fourth page of the spreadsheet, Chair.
What is the amount? I heard you quoting an amount.
There is 3,200.
Oh.
The very first line.
Who was this Hillary Clinton?
Hi, Boo. You are so a person to speak.
No, what I'm saying, comrade, I'm saying, who was the speaker? I know Hillary Clinton was paid hundreds of millions of dollars for speaking. This person who needed 3,000 rands to come and speak.
Sorry, it was Musaji. So the topic that was selected.
No, it's fine. I wanted the name.
Musaji.
Musaji.
Mm.
Okay, continue.
Chairperson. Now, I was just illustrating that we could, even with my colleagues when I'm done here, they could be able to engage further on the monies here. As much as it's categorizes irregular, but that's a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. AG was just fair. So we are unable to talk to the monies that are irregular because they are coded. And Jefferson, I don't think it's going to be fair to say they must send us these things without them coming to talk to it. It's only this page with three pick and pays, and then I think the last page with other three names, and we'll only stop there. We cannot. There's no way that we can be able to unpack and unearth how money was used in this document. Irregular expenditure, we can take it very lightly, but that's where corruption is. Friends gets tenders. These codes here, we don't know who these people are. It might happen that five companies are owned by one person because they don't have names. They don't know who owns them. We have a project manager. We don't even have a person who signed off the monies of the public. And it says nothing. It's not a response to the letter. The letter was very straightforward. The name, how money was used, how much, why was there a deviation? You provided that. You didn't understand the triple PFA. Status of your own investigation to satisfy yourself that it was really irregular because of it, of a certain deviation. And therefore, after concluding your investigation, your steps, consequences, because some people deviate because they want to. They deviate because they are waiting for their friends to complete their registration so that they can get a tender. They deviate because they want to balloon the prices. The paint that you paint a tar road with, it would be priced at game for 50 rand. And then a person wants to buy it at a certain service provider for 200 rand. Those are the things that you need to pick up on your investigation, but we are unable to unearth that. I can't talk to your document. We need to. You need to go back and then give us the information we required, so that we can unearth how did your irregular occur. Chairperson.
Chairperson, why? Why did you decide not to provide the information as requested in my letter? I think the last paragraph of your letter indicates Roman figure 2. Company involved, and then in brackets, though instead of the company name, the contract number is mentioned.
Chairperson, we apologize for that, and I can assure the committee that it wasn't intentional. I think by providing, and I'm not sure wanting to make an excuse, but if you could afford us the opportunity to then expand onto the Excel spreadsheet, including the name of the companies, will welcome that opportunity and come back and deliberate on each of the line items with regard to the project numbers and the name of the company.
Yeah, I think you know, Comrade Deputy Minister. And I think it's I think we are probably wrong as a committee, but I think we are left with a feeling that either Sunral came here unwillingly or they felt we're touching an area that they felt was none of our business. I arrived early this morning. By past 7, I was in my office. I was going through these documents, and I was like, no, man, there's something. I'm not getting a sense that Sandral is happy to come and actually explain things away. You know? And since I arrived here, comrades have come and said, but have you seen this report? Do you? So I'm just saying we need to engage in a much more positive, you know, environment than to be left with a feeling that Sandral feels it cannot and should not be touched. And if it is touched, it will interact with us on the basis of, you know, its own terms, unfortunately. I think, and that's why I'm saying I hope we're wrong, because if we're right, then that would be very bad. That would be very bad. I hope we're wrong. But our wrongness derived from reading through, looking at the spreadsheet, looking at the letter, and also looking at this document. It just sounded so defensive, too defensive, than to be giving out information that will assist us to have a better understanding. Okay. So, I don't know, comrades, but Deputy Minister, I think it would assist. It will be more meaningful for us to engage when we have. And please, just go back to my letter and just respond as requested. It will make our job much, much easier. I can assure you that. It will make our job much, much easier. I don't know, but that is my sense, and I want to check with comrades, so that Comrade Vincent and Comrade Kikan.
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, I concur with the sentiment, but Chair, I think we can't let Sandral go without them getting a sense of where we're sitting. I just want to look at your slide here, for instance, slide 10. It says an employee failed to declare conflict of interest on three projects to the tune of 1 million rand. Now, if I understand it, it's one employee, conflict of interest on three contracts, 1 million rand. 6 months down the line, you come to us and you say to us a forensic investigation is on. 6 months later, you've identified the individual, you've identified the three contracts, you've identified the amount. 6 months later, you come and tell us you've got, after 6 months, you're doing a forensic audit. Now, that's not good enough. That's not good enough for us. Because we can give you examples where Parliament has asked people to do inquiries and given us less than a month to finalize it. Why must Sandral take 6 months to do it and come here, not give us the name of the individual? So that's, I'm trying to indicate our sense of disdain that you have for us. On page 13 you say, four tenders were awarded without original or certified BEE certificates, 39 million rand. The matter has been brought to the attention of Treasury. That's not good enough for us. I think when they come back here, I was raising these things so that they must understand what, when you come back to us, you must explain to us why did it happen. Who is going to carry the can for having made it happen? Who is the individual that got three tenders with conflict of interest? Have we received that money back? We don't want to hear the fairy tale stories that you're giving us here. We want to know what have, because conflict of interest can't be debatable, sir. I heard you talking here about there's a contestation about interpretation. This has no interpretation constraints. So you must come and tell us who took the money. Have you recovered that money? Who approved the money from your side, and what has happened to that individual? That's the level of detail that I think we want on these matters that you've signed off. So what I want to say, Chair, they can go and do whatever they want to do in terms of adding to the spreadsheet, but they are glaring 40 million rand issues here that I think they can give us even before you decide on your date, so that when they come on that date, Chair, we have a sense of what we think should happen to those individuals. We can't wait another 2 months to understand who is it that has benefited to the tune of 1 million rand and has conflict of interest. it'll be interesting to see which individual that is. So I thought, Chair, we can allow them to go, but they must understand that we're not going to accept a response that is as vague as this one is.
Right. Comrade Kekan.
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, I fully agree with what you said and what Honorable Smith is saying. And unfortunately, if you go through this report, you get more depressed because it says nothing. And if you read, for instance, on page 15, a contract was awarded without following competitive bidding processes, the value 941. On page 16 again, two projects were not approved in line with that, that is a delegation, and there's no explanation. But what I want to indicate is Sandral must understand one simple thing, that unfortunately in this committee we are reading, we read your report, and hence we are saying there's no information in your presentation. And there was a letter from the chairperson clearly stipulating what we want from you, because we read your report and we saw that there are areas where you don't want to give us information. And we are saying, respond to the letter. Your presentation should be based on the letter that you have received, because there are specific things that we want to discuss with you. Don't tell us anything outside that letter, because if we wanted you to tell us something outside the letter, we could have indicated that to you. The letter is very clear and simple. And maybe if you don't have a copy, we can request the chairperson to resend the letter to you. Or if there's additional information that you don't understand, please interact with the office of the chairperson and clarify those issues, so that when we meet here, we sing from the same hymn book. Please.
I think we're rounding it off, Comrade Boy and Ross, and then we would close out. I want to give the Deputy Minister a minute.
Okay.
No, you,
oh,
you,
oh.
And then Ross. And
you see, Chair, the Honorable Member was trying to be more simpler. Our methodology is here. We have to ask the hawks to sit right here, because sometimes we don't understand English, or it's assumed that we don't understand English. So that when you do these things of irregular expenditure, we could be able to say to them, help us with this forensic investigation, so that we distinguish between issues that are in need of disciplinary activity and criminality. You see, because we deal with consequences. That's why we're dealing with irregular and wasteful expenditure. And not round and round. We're not a portfolio committee. We deal with the money, the end user. That how did you use the taxpayers' money? Because we all agree here, we're being paid by the taxpayers. It's not your money, it's not my money, but my job is to look after that person and find the fingers lingering around using and abusing the purse itself. And that's what we're looking for, sir. Vincent is putting it in good English. We are looking for simplicity to say to you that, is there, have you taken action, and what form of action have you taken? Does that matter require discipline in terms of your own institution? If it's a criminal matter, we do have the hawks and everybody around here to make sure that we refer the case immediately. So I'm just saying, sir, that's how serious we are with our consequences. We can't be hearing you saying to us, you've been negotiating with the Auditor General for the past 2 years. You know what does it mean? It means that you are taking the taxpayers' money, which is not your money, which is not the Auditor General's money. You're spending it on something else. And the roads are not being done. And the roads are not being done, and our people continue dying on the roads. That's what they are saying to us. The little money that we give you out of our revenue, you spend it on negotiating with the Auditor General. And that is an expenditure on itself, and it's fruitless. You're wasting the taxpayers' money. If you don't understand English, find the best person to be employed to interpret English for you, and you'll be able to understand how the law functions. And I agree with what Honorable taken, I say. When there's no clarity about the letter, sir, talk to the chairperson of this committee. We have confidence in him. We work with him. That's why he's here today representing people, because we think he's doing a very superb job. There's no way that you could become ignorant about our letter writing and the things that we want, so that as members of parliament, when you come here, we reflect on the work that they are doing. You're not the only entity that comes in front of us. There are many entities that are coming here. You hear too many stories about these entities. So we just want to encourage you, sir, stick to the letter. Look at the letter. If you can't interpret it, we'll fly the chairperson in to come and help you to just look at the letter and answer the questions. And then we'll take the work from there. We should really encourage you and release you, sir, so that you could do. We know that are quite willing to give us the report. Because this website information are giving us is not helping us at all.
All right, okay. Ross, I want us to
Chairperson, I'll be as brief as possible. Sure. I'd just like to, the first question is, what was the status of your financial report, sir? Was it unqualified with findings? No, I just wanted clarification on this. And then, I wonder, just with regards to the procurement, the seriousness of the non-compliance in terms of legislation, you are aware of what the AG report said. I don't need to go through that with regards to procurement. But there's also, it's mentioning a person who was in the employ of the entity and whose close family members, partners and associates had a private business or interests, and then there was a transgression contravention in terms of treasury regulations as well. You are aware of all these things? Okay.
Let me give the Deputy Minister, because I hear what Ross has asked, but in terms of, I think, what would request that we do is that let's give additional information, and then we can come and engage in some of these broader discussions than for you to respond to a question now, and yet we'll still have some time. Comrades, hopefully before we rise, we may need to squeeze out some departments and get Sandra to come back before we rise. Comrade Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, colleagues. First, I think I must apologize for joining late. I had a commitment, but also let me also apologize for the minister. She is actually attending cabinet, and we have items on the agenda of cabinet as the department. Chair, we have had the portfolio committee, in fact, the SCOPA speaking to us, and we want to first apologize for not meeting the expectation of the committee in as far as our presentation to yourself, and we promise that we will go back and look at everything that you have asked for and ensure that we include that in the report. Further, Chair, it's not about whether we are happy to come before the Portfolio Committee. We have got to. Portfolio Committee is given the powers to call us. In fact, the SCOPA is given the powers by the Constitution to call us to appear before us, or even to summon us to appear before us. So it's not like we can choose to be happy or not happy, to come or not to come. And in that case, Chair, we will always present ourselves before the SCOPA whenever we are called. Personally, I think on behalf of all of us, we appreciate the vigorous and the detailed manner in which SCOPA ask us to account for the monies that we use on behalf of the people. And for me, it actually inculcates a sense that says whenever we take decisions, we must think first as to whether we'll be able to account to the people of South Africa through the representatives who are members of parliament. And therefore, for me, honestly, I'm happy that you are this vigorous and that you are this detailed. We will go back and ensure that we provide the committee with all the information, and that will come and subject ourselves to your questioning and that we'll be able to account, because it's us who actually are spending the money and must be able to account. And I think that is that I will want to say. We'll provide additional information as requested, detailed as it has been asked, and where we do not understand, we'll actually ask the chairperson to assist to clarify where we do not understand. Probably just to mention the fact that with all this, but SANRAL is still doing some good work on behalf of us. Chair, we are, as a matter of fact, number 18 in the world in terms of the quality of our roads at national level, and managing a road network that is 750,000 kilometers, which puts us at number 10 in the world in terms of the length of our road network, and puts us at number 18 in the world in terms of the quality of our national roads. But of course, in the process of doing that, it doesn't mean that we can do as we want and not be asked to account. I just want to say that, and thank you, Chair. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Comrade Minister. I don't know how it works, but I would imagine that when SANRAL gets an invitation, they prepare their presentation, the department and the ministry should be somehow involved. You don't come and collide with the presentation here. And I think that is where your guidance must come in. You know, because they are coming to us for the first time. You know, I can see this presentation is prepared not for SCOPA. Just to make sure that we, because flying to Cape Town and going back and coming back, I mean, it's not free, it's money. You know, and it's not something that we do lightly, because we are not flying on wings, you know, like that. I do want to say that, Chair, can we have the information by next week, Wednesday?
Yes, confirmed, Chair.
Right, by next week, Wednesday, and then by next week, Wednesday, we'll also be able to give you a return date. As for you, Comrade Minister, PRASA is also on the pipeline, so we're hoping to see you again at some point. Always happy to see the Department of Transport. Thank you very much. Let's get the information, and then we'll communicate on the date. Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much, and to the members of the committee, I want to assure yourself and the committee that we pride ourselves on the highest level of governance as SANRAL. And we sincerely apologize that we did not meet your expectations. Like you correctly said, it's the first time that we're appearing in front of this committee, and we thought that we had submitted information. So apologies deeply, but I'll assure you that we run an organization that where we pride ourselves on strict governance, Chairperson. And I think the original, and we would provide the information and welcome that rigorous. And possibly, if you allow us, I could, after submitting, if there's any further information or we don't meet your expectations, please do not hesitate to relate that to me and we'll meet your expectations.
All right.
But thank you to the committee, and thank you for your honest input, because it's, for us, it's a guidance to make sure that the next time we do appear, that we provide all the information that you require. So thank you very much.
All right.
And on behalf of the board and the officials, yeah, thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, no, just to, we don't only have the Hawks and the legal advisor, we have two researchers and a content advisor. So when we get your reports, give them to go and thoroughly go through them. But our own members as well do their work. So here we deal with details. We don't want generalizations. We want to go to the minutest detail of what has happened. So I think if we can prepare in that context, as long as we give an explanation so that we understand, I think that's all we want. Right, thank you very much. May we release you to go and attend to issues of national importance, fix the roads, and do all things necessary so we can be safe. Okay. Let's have a 1 minute health break whilst Cocta readies itself.
Mt. Itotos.
Thank you.
I'm
Comrades, may we proceed. But I think if you were closer, it would make the conversation more intimate. Yes. Questions that were directed to you, you could also respond to them. Right.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just at the outset, we were here specifically today to focus on irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And that is our focus today. We've received a report from Mr. Sigidi. Mr. Sigidi is here? I'm sorry. I don't know if you introduced yourself earlier. I may have missed that. Where we asked for comment on fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I note that your presentation doesn't include any reference to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Is that an oversight, or was there no fruitless and wasteful expenditure? I've looked at the annual reports. Could you just clarify that now, before I get into irregular expenditure?
To the best of my knowledge, there was no fruitless and wasteful expenditure.
Okay, then you're off the hook there. Well done. All right, let's get into the presentation that you've given us.
Well,
thank you.
I think there was Gugu. Just get me that page. I'm sure it's
Chair, I'll check this with Gugu. Our research doesn't indicate. 8,000 Rand.
Yeah, that's money. 8,000
Rand. Yes, it is. Well, let's start there before we get into the meat of the irregular expenditure. Can you give us explanation on that 8,000 Rand fruitless and wasteful expenditure?
Then there might have been perhaps an oversight on the 8,000. I'll ask the CFO to check it if it's there.
No, it is there. That's why we can put a figure, say 8,000.
May I suggest I carry on with the regular expenditure and then you come back to us on that? All right. The presentation that you've given us is detailed in terms of generalizations and details in terms of educating SCOPA about what irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure is. I'll show you, you don't have to do that. We know full well what it is, but thank you anyway. Then you move into the, on page 1, the first breakdown that you start giving us of irregular expenditure is on page 10 of your presentation. And you refer to the fact that, quite correctly, the amount of 442 million was the figure of irregular expenditure for 2015-2016, and that the amount of over 1 billion rands worth of irregular expenditure comes from addition to the previous year. And you refer to the main part of the issue is the implementing agents. From the outset, what concerns us about the implementing agents and implementation agents here is that they're not named. Now, the Chair would have asked you for that level of detail in the letter sent to you, and this is a theme that we're going to continue with right throughout my inquiries, is the lack of detail. We need to know who the implementing agents were and what amounts were attached to each implementing agent. Can you advise us as to why there was such a lack of detail on implementing agents before we move on?
On slide number 19, we have outlined the 9 implementing agents that had irregular expenditure. And in the detail that we have sent, we also indicated the date in which that irregular expenditure happened, and we also detailed those implementing agents.
Do you have which document are you referring to? You just lift it up so I see.
In the presentation we have.
This is my page 19.
Slide 19.
Yes.
Page 19, slide 19. I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's an unnumbered page. I'm with you. Okay.
We'll
come back to that.
Do you have that slide 19?
I do have slide 19.
Let me see. Can you show it the slides?
It's It obviously comes after 18 chair, but it's not numbered. This was the updated report that we sent out, Chair.
Yeah, well.
And this is also the one laid on table this morning. Oh no, this is one given to us yesterday.
I'm trying to sort myself out so that I should be
it's the same as that without the color. Can we proceed?
Sit them on a minute. Make sure that we all move on the same page, otherwise. Okay, comrades. I think let's. I'm not sure what happened and how it happened. The documentation that I have does have page 19, but it's the 19 that does not have the figure. All right, because then it means he should have printed the latest version. All right. You may continue.
Thank you very much, Chair. All right. So, it's common cause that the bulk of the irregular expenditure that was caused in 2015-16 is as a result of the implementing agents. Okay. And I apologize if I'm working from a document that's different from yours, but I think the committee would have to trust me that I'm not making this up. All right.
Yeah, I think we had a SANRAL situation where
you
send a letter that stipulates what must be in the report, and then the departments decide to send what they want to send.
Yes.
And then we have to write a letter, even draw them what we expect them to do. And then I think a document was resent, and now Makomisha Pitana Lopai, and then the next thing we end up with documents that do not.
Okay.
But it's fine. Continue. We trust you.
Thank you, Chair. So, the implementation agents, I have it on my page 19, although it's not numbered, starts with Gladler Foundation. Is that correct? And then goes down to Riti Institute, Insiga Foundation, and so on and so on. Are those the implementing agents? All right. Okay. Now, I see on those pages that...
In the other document, comrades, the list of the implementing agents are on page 16, I think. Yeah, 16.
Yeah. I think everybody's on board now at this stage. Right, so the Gladler Foundation is 221 million, Siriti 65, Nsiga 54, and so we go down. Those are all, obviously, million amounts. And we see that there is a status of investigation next to you on all of them. And unfortunately, it says not completed, not yet completed. So the question, just quickly, briefly, to you is who is investigating? Who's conducting all these investigations that are not yet complete?
Deloitte is investigating.
All right, and when did they start?
This is the second phase of their investigation.
All right, so I picked up later on in your report that there is a forensic report, a forensic investigation that's been commissioned by, obviously, the minister. And phase one is complete. Where is phase one?
Phase one was completed, and when it was completed, we wrote letters to individuals that were supposed to be disciplined, but then we realized that phase two was also going to be having an impact on those particular individuals, and then we again wrote a letter to those individuals indicating that we are deferring the decision to continue the disciplinary process until phase two of the investigation is finalized.
All right, you know, the situation here, DG, is that we're working with a situation where you are keeping SCOPA in the dock. You were asked in the letter quite clearly to give us full investigations of all investigations that were continuing, that were ongoing. Here's a regular expenditure. We want to know who committed that irregular expenditure and what's being done about it. Okay? You have told us in your report, I'll find the right page here in your presentation, where investigation reports, my page 21. And you said your names of people related to the cases under investigation, and then your sentence construction is remarkable. Have, can, not been provided at this stage. Who authored this? Did you write this? Page 17, point number one. Did you write that sentence?
The colleagues that are with me wrote that sentence.
Okay, well, the colleagues that are with you could maybe explain to me where they get the sentence construction. Names of the people related to the case under investigation have, cannot, been provided at this stage. Could you please explain to me what on earth that means?
But,
because, it's either they have been provided and they haven't, or they cannot be provided. So either it's a We cannot provide you with the names in terms of defiance of the status of SCOPA, or it's will not, or there are so many interpretations here. So I'd like to just get from COGTA, what are you telling us? Are you going to tell us the people being investigated and the progress of those investigations, or are you not? I'd like to just try and assess the level of cooperation we can expect from COGTA with SCOPA. And as you know, this is not a portfolio committee, colleagues. This is SCOPA. We can summons people under subpoena to testify here. We don't do that, but can I just please get an answer on that? Thank you.
I hear you, but this document, on page one, the DG owns the document.
Yes. Well, yeah, then the DG can explain.
So I hear you, and maybe we can defer to them, but I'm just saying that as a DG, you can't put his name on a document and say, this is my document. And when you want an explanation on things inside that document, please, I did not write it. I don't think
thank you, Chair. That makes it even worse. Okay. Mr. Sigidi.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies. I think there was a misprint there. We wanted to say we cannot provide the names of the individuals that are being investigated at this stage because we felt that the matter is sub judice. But we do have the names of the people that are written against each and every contract that has been awarded irregularly and against each and every expenditure that has been awarded irregularly.
Is the matter, are any of these matters before a court of law? Because I have an implementing agent right in front of me here, General Glemeza. And as far as I know, we haven't referred any of these matters to him. So are any of the matters before a court of law? Because unless they're before a court of law, they cannot be sub judice. Please let's not misuse that term. Under investigation does not mean sub judice.
The matters that are in the court of law, in fact, they are not necessarily in the court of law. It's one at the end, but it's not involving implementing agent. It might have been us misunderstanding the term investigation, but we'll provide the committee with the names of the people that we are investigating.
So you will provide that? Okay, thank you. I do appreciate that. Because you see, DG, the problem with this report, and I know that COGTA has not been to SCOPA, certainly in my memory. maybe the chair can help with memory further back. So maybe you don't understand how we work. But the bottom line is that we need detail. And we've started a new process because rule, is it 245 of the House rules? Was it 145? Anyway, the new rules basically say that we can, as a committee, instigate any investigation at any stage. And that is why we have General Inglemeza here with us. Because the answers that you give us today, we may well act on them. If we detect criminality, we may well act on them, and we can act immediately. So the bottom line is, DG, is that we need detail. Okay, so I appreciate your explanations as to what's happened, but we need detail as to who did what. Now, if we go back to your, I don't know, I'm going to try and work through this and try and make some progress, but maybe we'll have to adjourn and ask you to come back with more detail. Point number 5 on page 10. The Department of Cooperative Governance reported an amount of 442,458. And then if you go down, 2014-15, the amount was 155,357 million, which was a jump of 184%. What happened? This was a department that used to get clean audits. And in one particular year, well, unqualified audits is the correct term. And in one year, you jump to a situation where you have 184% increase in your regular expenditure. Who dropped the ball? Who wasn't watching it? And I'm sorry, DG, that falls to you. Okay, why did you drop the ball, sir? What happened in that one year? And please don't blame it on the implementing agents, because the implementing agents are your responsibility, sir.
Chacha, if you allow, like we said in bullet number 2 in that particular slide, that the bulk of the irregular expenditure was the implementing agents. The increase in the irregular expenditure was, because if you look at some of the other slides, we have indicated that there were two levels of irregular expenditure on the implementing agents. One was on the time that they have been on the tender process when they were appointed. And they were appointed on a period of 3 years. Now, in 2014-15, that's when we appointed the implementing agent. And the implementing agent said to establish sites then, they had to recruit participants, and they had to procure tools and equipment. And in that particular financial year, because they had just started, it therefore meant that the expenditure was not necessarily going to be excessive. So in the years, in the 15-16, it meant that they were now paying participants, they were having sites that were there, the tools had to be bought in relation to the number of participants that were in those particular sites. That really explains the jump. So that is why I'm saying we cannot really remove it from the implementing agent, because already the irregularity happened when they were appointed, which is what we are referring to as the project management fee.
Thank you, DG, but unfortunately, I don't believe that washes. On page 11 of your presentation, you break down the nature of irregular expenditure for the department. Are you with me there? Okay. And you list six factors. And effectively, please correct me if I'm wrong, jump in and correct me, but you're saying these are the reasons why we incurred all this irregular expenditure with these implementation agents. Am I right? Okay. So you're saying non-compliance with the CW, the implementations to supply chain management procedures, payments made without valid tax clearance certificates, minimum number of quotations not obtained, inconsistency with criteria to use to evaluate bidders, extension of expired contracts not obtained, and deviation from standard supply chain management. These are all technical PFMA issues that were simply not complied with. So, DG, I have to put it to you again. As the Director General of the Department, surely your responsibility is, in terms of the PFMA, you're the accounting officer, to ensure that all departments, sub-departments, anybody under your ambit, anybody under your purview, must adhere to supply chain management procedures, tax clearance certificates, because that's part of those procedures, quotations we obtained, once again, part of the procedures of the PFMA, the bidding processes, part of the PFMA, extension of contracts, part of the PFMA, and deviation from standard supply chain management. Now, how can you say that that's not your responsibility? Surely it's your responsibility. I understand that you're delegating responsibility. You're saying to an implementing agent, listen, you've got to do work for us. But at the end of the day, the buck stops with you. It has to. You are the accounting officer. You need to have people in place to make sure that all those PFMA regulations are adhered to. Am I wrong?
Through you, Chair, you are right. If you look at 1, 2, and 3, and 4, they are also still related to issues of implementing agents, because when we appointed implementing agents, some of them were joint ventures. You find that at the time that you were appointing the principal implementing agent, then they had joint ventures of those other people who never had tax clearance certificates, and that then became a problem. But with regard to issues of extensions of expired contracts where we didn't obtain certain things in time, I agree with you that it is indeed the responsibility of the accounting officer.
You know, DG, one of the first steps in realizing you've got a problem is acknowledging it. And, you know, we are not in this committee to be competitive. We are post-mortem specialists, okay? So we tell you why the patient has died or why the patient is sick, unfortunately after the fact, okay? But there is no statute and limitations as to who killed the patient. All right, so if we find out that you killed the patient 2 years afterwards, we can still come after you. and I'm not saying you killed this patient, but you get my drift. You get where I'm going. So the bottom line is, sir, you have to acknowledge that PFMA is entirely your purview, and you have to be responsible for implementing it properly. If somewhere down the line somebody didn't listen to your instruction, then your job is, as soon as you become aware of it, is to report it to the relevant authorities and to take action immediately. So if we can just please get to that space where you realize this is really your problem, okay, and effectively at the end of the day it's going to reflect on you. All right.
Agreed.
Okay, thank you. Then if we go now to, I'm not going to dig too much into the rest because we need all the detail. It's literally that simple. While I'm finding my next place, the first phase of the investigative of the forensic edit report. Can we get a copy of that so we can have a look at it, just to brief ourselves in the interim?
We'll provide that.
Thank you very much. I'm sure the chair will give you a time frame. Right. Now, let's just go to this the list of persons implementing agents that didn't do their job properly. Are you going to provide us with an exact detailed list of, obviously we have the list, but are you going to break down for us exactly what they did? Which regulate, because you've given us the list of six, are you going to tell us what they did and where we are on that? Okay. We're not going to take this information and take it to court or whatever. The only people that are going to possibly see this information is General Ngamazia. Okay, to look at possible criminal activity. So that's what we need the information for. We're not going to be parading it out in the media or anything like that. So we do understand it's sensitive information, but we need it to be able to make decisions. Okay. Will you give us that sort of breakdown, what they've done? Details.
We'll do that.
Okay, please. And when we say detailed, we need detailed. We need to know a little story on each one of them. This particular person was appointed to do this. We suspect that the bidding process was incorrect and these people were involved in that bidding process. Exactly. We need to know half a pager on every single one. So it's a bit of work. Or just give us the report so that we can make... Well, give us the report anyway, plus a nice summary of what's going on.
Perhaps through you, Chair, just a little bit of clarity that one will seek. We had submitted even the spreadsheet that indicates even the date in which that irregular expenditure has happened for each and every implementing agent. So perhaps I'll just want clarity in terms of the details that the Honourable Member is referring to, so that we...
I don't have that spreadsheet. Where is that spreadsheet? Is that Excel document? That long list? No, that's not enough detail. We need to know what they did wrong. You know, otherwise I've had a look at that list. Otherwise, that is just a list of people that you've given work to. We need to know what they did wrong. We need to know where the errant action took place. Okay, that was emailed to us, Chair, by the department. I don't think it's been printed for today. Okay, then finally, before I pack it in, because I think you're going to give us all the detail that we need, were you able to, I know the implementing agent, that whole long list of whether or not they were, you know, regular expenditure is a tricky thing, and I know a lot of departments say, why are we getting nailed for irregular expenditure? Because we got bang for our buck. Okay, that's always the assertion. But the problem with irregular expenditure, it stems from the fact that you didn't follow procedure. So if you don't follow procedure, you open up the gate to paying more for something than you should have, and you also open up the gate to the wrong people getting the job who maybe shouldn't be getting the job because they're not qualified to do it, so we don't get proper service delivery. Have you, during the course of your investigation, been able to get to the root of that? In other words, have you been able to see, right, we appointed implementing agent A, who gave us X service, but in actual fact, that wasn't efficient service. It wasn't bang for our buck. We didn't get what we really should have done. Have you been able to do that? So take all the ones where it's irregular and actually work out, because we didn't follow the rules, we we could have got a much better deal had we followed the rules. Have you been able to drive into that at all?
No, Honourable.
Okay, are you going to make an attempt to do that?
We have already started doing that, Honourable.
Okay, and when do you expect such an exercise will be finished?
We are expecting that that exercise will be done by December.
December?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to get that culture across from the scoper point of view that we mustn't say regular expenditure is just we stepped over the line a little bit. Stepping over the line allows corruption in. And it's the slide down that hill where, oh, well, the rules don't matter. We'll just do what we want. And then we won't be a capable state anymore. We need to follow that. PFMA needs to be our Bible that guides us in everything, because that is what stops the rot of corruption. Corruption is not something that just happens like that. It is something that builds. It's like a disease. And irregular expenditure is one of the symptoms of that disease. Chair, I think I'm pretty much done with what I had. I can't dig into any particular matters and cases and so on without the actual physical detail of it. So until we get that detail and maybe get Cogta back to see us, I can't do much more. If I can just clarify on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, Gugu has been very kind enough to tell me that the fruitless and wasteful expenditure was for previous years and that there was no F&W reported for this last year. So well done on that. Excellent. Thank you very much.
you know, Comrade Minister, we've been running around and trying to get things done for all these meetings, and I've become very reluctant to fault my team for all the efforts they've put in. I'm a little handicapped because some of the details that the acting DG was talking to, I do not have them. I think I had so many emails from Ben to and from the department trying to say, this is how we want you to report to us. Not this. This is far removed from the letter that we've sent, which stipulated, in your report, indicate 1, 2, 3, 4. And if you look at this, I don't know when it was sent, but it has today's date. That became the base of the problem, because it does not say anything. And there's a letter here to Tekane, a letter to Lebohang, trying to say, give us the correct information. So in the context of those ups and downs, if finally the correct information was sent, I think we then missed it out. And so we're sitting here. I'm struggling to follow up what he was up to, in the absence of details. I do see the list of the implementing agents, because the bulk of the irregular expenditure involved arose out of the procurement of a implementation agent. The question is, who procured those implementing agents? What was wrong? What is it that was wrong in that process? Was it that there was no tender or advertisement, or was it that the bid adjudication committee ignored the bid evaluation committee, or was it that an official ignored the bid adjudication committee? Who did what? I think that level of detail assists us to, it then takes us to a point where we're able to see that no, this is a case that requires disciplinary action. No, we think here this is fraud or this is corruption. Then we're able to separate the issues. We don't just say there is regular expenditure and leave it at that. We're able to separate and find those that require the DG to act and those that require external. But if you don't have that level of detail, then you are still left with this big cloud, irregular expenditure. And I don't think it assists us. It also does not assist the
the department. So it might as well be that an email was indeed sent to our office and we dropped the ball. You know, like an old-fashioned school principal, I'll be reluctant to blame my team. So I'm feeling a bit stuck.
I do apologize. There was just one more question that I had, on page 27 of your presentation. This is the colorful presentation that I have now. it's under investigation reports. Are we on the same page there? The title is investigation reports. 27 on this one.
Yeah.
Okay. At the bottom of the page, it refers to the investigation that's carrying on, and I think that's obviously the investigation we were speaking about, where you're going to give us phase one report. At the last line says, the department has subsequently... Okay, let's go back. The second to last line. The investigation was concluded at the end of March 2016. And the department is in the process of following up on the recommendations made. And then the department has subsequently appointed a service provider to assist with implementing the recommendations made. Can you give us clarity on that? Is this the same report we're talking about, phase one and phase two, the Deloitte investigation? And then who have you appointed as a service provider to assist with implementing recommendations? And what is that implementation of? Because if you're implementing investigation to things, I have a service provider right in front of me here who can assist with that. Do we need to really appoint a service provider to implement investigation recommendations? Can you just give some clarity on that, please?
Through you, Chair, the investigation that we are referring to is the second phase of the investigation. And those are the people that also assist us when we are doing disciplinary matters. We are not necessarily appointing a service provider to do the disciplinary processes. Perhaps I must indicate that we are also working with the OGS in some of the matters that we realized that there were criminal elements.
Which are these? Which are these?
No, we had one case which we had disciplined an officer. From my side, we did all the processes, and the officer, the decision of the disciplinary hearing was that the officer must be released, and then the officer appealed to the minister, and then she was finally released. But at the same time, there were parallel processes with the WOGS. And those processes are still ensuing, but that office has been released. It is in relation to the travel agent issue of fraud that we saw in the department, and not necessarily implementing agent.
Travel.
Yes.
This you say was referred to the Hawks when?
It was referred to the Hawks in June 2015.
And when last were you in touch with the Hawks to check how far they are with the investigation?
It was yesterday.
What was their response?
Chair, subsequent to this process as well was done in two phases. So the final, the second phase of that investigation, we received the report 3 weeks ago. So we now have to table that report with the Hawks as well. And what we found in the second phase of the report, that of the 23 cases of fraud that was identified, the official that was dismissed was instrumental in 17 of those cases. So we now have to retable the second phase of the report to the Hawks and give them the additional information related to the second phase. And also, we need assistance from the Hawks in terms of trying to put a stop on the pension payout as well, because the related fraud is in excess of $1 million. And with the HR is currently in the process of finalizing the pension payout. So we wanted some assistance to see if we can't put a stop on that pension payout so that there's some right of recourse for the department.
But you spoke to the Hawks yesterday. My question was, what did they say?
They've asked me to amend my the affidavit so I can table the second phase of the report. And also to... they're going to assist us in giving us a letter so that we can send it to pensions to try and put a hold on the pension payout.
When are they giving you the letter?
They haven't confirmed a date.
Could be next year, June. Really, if you need to stop a payout, and I would imagine that you would have said we need that letter by end of the week. So if you just left it like that, I think it does not assist your cause. It's a good thing that you've done. We hardly hear those kind of responses from officials that this is what we've done, this is what we've done, these are the measures we've taken. But if you leave an open window, it can still come to zero.
I will ensure that we get that letter, hopefully by the end of the week.
Okay. Yeah.
To you. I just want to clarify, this is an investigation, it's a separate investigation into travel issues. It's not the list that we were talking about. Okay, and this is not, was Deloitte also involved in this one? It's a separate investigation entirely. Okay. All right. That's me, Chair. Thanks.
All right. Okay. Comrades, any follow-ups? I'm happy with the proactive stance. That's what we want. We don't want officials who come in. It's like they just wake up when the Auditor General moves in, or when they're here, it's okay, fine, we'll follow up. If they didn't come, it's like nothing was going to happen. So we want officials who come and tell us what they're doing or what they've done. At least there is movement. Yes, Comrade.
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, there's something that maybe we need to clarify here, particularly with the accounting officer. Because if you read the PFMA, that is section 38, C subsection, that is 2, it is very clear on your responsibilities. It says, let me read it for the record. It says the accounting officer must prevent unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. It says must prevent. Because unfortunately, in the interaction with my colleague, you are not showing any sign that is of preventing, that is the unauthorized expenditure. And when I read your document here, you are telling us about the future. And I think the chairperson and that is Honorable Tim clearly indicated that is to you, that we are dealing with what killed the patient, not what will kill the patient. But unfortunately, in your response, you are not giving one that is the confidence that you did something that is to stop these things. For instance, I don't understand. Let's go to page 11 of your report. Some of the issues that one is raising, that is in that report, the payment made without valid tax clearance certificate. My understanding is that's a condition that is of tender. And you are now saying it is the implementing agent. And that's your responsibility. In your contract, it's very clear. In the Act, it's very clear. You are responsible. The buck stops with you and nobody else. Now, we cannot appear before us and refer other issues to implementing agents. Those implementing agents, they work under you. It is your responsibility to make sure that all these issues are correctly dealt with. The other issue that I don't understand, yes, my colleagues are saying they want details.
issues like, for instance, point 5 in the same page, extension of expired contract not obtained. But can you really give such an answer to Parliament? Because to be honest, as a senior official in the department, I don't think that there's an appropriate answer that is supposed to come to Parliament. The third issue, you are saying deviations from standard supply chain management procedures not approved. Well, that is the process followed, because there is a clear procedure in terms of that is treasury that is supposed to be followed. Are these implementing agents when appointed that is taken through that is these procedures? Because at the end, you are accountable, that is for the department, not the implementing agent. Now, I'm saying, please, in future, when we deal with such issues, please don't refer to anybody. Understand that you are appearing before us because you are an accounting officer. And the answers that we need them from you. And that cannot be delegated to somebody else outside this room. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Let me check. Comrades, is there any additional follow-ups? Right. Let's, DG, can we just get those additional information? Let's just get the details in terms of who did what, when, how, the status of the investigations and all that. So that we can then process that information from our side. But then if there is anything, you're always free to touch base with my office, either Tombi or Ben, just to ensure that we're on the same page. If information is sent, somebody should follow up to check if it is the correct information. I think our main interest, like I indicated in the morning, is consequence management. People must be held accountable. If a contract had expired, it was extended, who did it? Who extended that contract illegally? We know that in contract extension, that's where people make money for friends and cronies. You know, who is held accountable? All these deviations, all these wrong things, they unless they are investigated, our assumption is they don't happen by accident. Since we started, a team has been asking officials, don't you have calendars? Because we find contract management, the contract expires and then they continue paying. You can see this is deliberate. You can't say it's a mistake, because when a contract starts, there's a starting date and the time when it ends. So you can't come in and say, no. So prior that the officials must be able to. In the absence of subsequent follow-ups, Commerce Minister and Deputy Minister, I would 2 minutes. I don't know if both of you have issues that you'd like to talk to arising out of this discussion. Safe to say that I think Acting DG, the letter from the Hawks, expedited. Here is General Nklemeza. He is here basically to be of help in those kind of matters. You might not have spoken to him, but he is the head. If you talk to him, he can expedite and make sure that these things are sorted out urgently. And cases that you have referred to the Hawks, I'm sure now that you're here, it could be good that he has access to those case numbers so that from his side he can also follow up to make sure that the processes are expedited. We don't want referral to the Hawks to be a dustbin where cases are referred and they are kept in a cooler there and ultimately nothing happens. We want investigations to be expedited, concluded, so that those who are not guilty can be cleared. Those will not have a cloud hanging over their lives forever. But if they are guilty too, they equally need to be punished. So I'm saying let's deal with that. Comrades, if you're going to respond, I'm interested in the Committee Works programs. I'm not in the Portfolio Committee. I know there's a rationale behind having them, but I've just come across so many people who had lots of complaints about how they're implemented and how they impact on them, how they fall so far below the livable minimum that that people could have. So I'm not sure. I know that's not our field, but I'm sure I can abuse my position here to throw it through the window. Because then comes out the issue of implementing agents and the kind of people I have strong distrust, because I don't know what happens between the department when things reach them. What do they do before they reach out to the people on the ground? I'm not sure what mechanism of monitoring is there to ensure that they adhere to the standards, they adhere to the agreements, and or whether government just give them a bulk amount and say, see to finish. And then you have primitive accumulation. Sweatshops, so to speak. Is it truly and really because that's how government has structured it, or is it because we've just let loose people to scavenge on poor people? I found that to be a very, very serious problem, especially in the far-flung rural areas. But maybe it could be a discussion beyond here. But I'm just saying, I think, and when we come here and find that we have massive irregular expenditure because somebody in the department regularly appointed this implementing agent and they then went ahead and did all sorts of wrong things, I would imagine that the wrong things would go right up to the ordinary people on the ground. It's a matter of serious, serious concern to me. But I'll hand over to you, comrades, then you can pick up on whatever issues you felt need to be spoken to. But Community Works Program, I really, really, really am worried about it. Yeah. Okay, comrade Deputy Minister.
No, thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members, colleagues. I think, first of all, just to really welcome this engagement. For us, the Community Works Program is one of the most important programs that COCTA has been entrusted with running, and we were given that responsibility in 2009. The Community Work Program was incubated in the presidency, flowing out of a job summit, and then given to COCTA to massify and to roll out. And I think the first point to be made, and this is really, I want to make it abundantly clear up front. This is not in any way, or should in any way be construed as seeking in any way to create any excuse for any wrongdoing. But just to say that the Community Work Program is a very unique program in that it's not implemented directly by government. It's not designed to be implemented directly by government. It's meant to be a community-based initiative, and that's why from the outset the program was implemented through non-governmental organizations. Why those non-governmental organizations are meant to work closely with local reference committees consisting of community representatives. Now, we also know that that doesn't always work in the way that it's supposed to. But over the years, since 2009, I think many valuable lessons have been learned. When the program was first given to COGTA, we had a very, very complex layer of three layers of implementing agents. National lead agents, then provincial ones, then local ones. And a lot of money was going to waste through those very cumbersome layers of red tape and administration. Two, there were a number of irregularities that were picked up in forensic investigations that were commissioned by the department itself. And based on that, the current cycle of implementation is a lot leaner, a lot more efficient. And also, the department has taken over certain of the core responsibilities. For example, the payment of the participants. Now, ironically, that taking over of responsibility by the department, in a sense, has now backfired us on us in a certain sense, in that we're responsible, and now when things go wrong, it's reflecting as irregular expenditure by COGTA, whilst previously it had been shifted to arm's length. Again, that's not a question of making excuses. Secondly, I think it might just be useful. I know it's not SCOPA's core mandate. You have made it very clear you're not the portfolio committee. But nonetheless, I think it would be useful if an opportunity could be created for a short presentation on the history, the nature, and the functioning of the program. We would also appreciate that because we ourselves are trying to grapple with how do you run a community-based program and at the same time ensure that there's transparency, accountability, and adherence to the highest standards of accountability. But sometimes those two things don't always sit that comfortably together. So I think it would be useful that we do that presentation and maybe have some engagement. Just maybe to say that in response to your questions, Chairperson, there are sites where CWP is working, in our opinion, brilliantly. Where you've got very responsible, committed implementing agents, communities are brought on board. You go to a site like the Erasmus site just outside of Tshwane, and really brilliant work is being done. There's a vegetable garden in every third house. Participants are playing a very meaningful role in schools. They've brought the private sector on board. They've helped to train participants in building a community center, building a bridge across a stream. We've brought in the Department of Small Business Development to train people in setting up co-ops, and it works very well. There are other sites where you can see that really the performance is not up to what we want it to be. But just having said that, is that I think we need to bear in mind that many of the elements of this program are predetermined. So, for example, out of the total budget, 70% goes to wages, to the participants. So already that's taken out of the equation, and that's paid directly by the department. So a further 5% is taken by the department itself as a top slice to run the administration of the program. So it's you're talking of 25 5%, whatever, of the total budget of the program that's actually put into the hands of the implementing agents to do something with. So again, that's not to, and even with that percentage, you're talking about many hundreds of millions of rand. So it's not to minimize the problem, but just to say, this is not that we're giving money to implementing agents and they have a complete free rein. I think, just in conclusion, to say the areas that we've identified. And I think they're touched upon in the program, is one, we know that we've got to beef up our own administration, administrative capacity. Two, our monitoring and evaluation capacity. On both of those fronts, though, I must say, we are severely constrained by the budgetary cutbacks. And lastly, we're working very, very closely with the Accountant General, with National Treasury, and in particular the Chief Procurement Officer, to make sure that when we go into the third cycle of implementation, that we've incorporated the additional lessons that we've learned. One, that we make sure as far as possible that the procurement process, well, the process of appointing the implementing agents, is absolutely squeaky clean. Because in a sense, that is the original sin that then taints everything that comes after that. It accounts for a lion's share of the irregular expenditure, and also where things have gone wrong at that initial stage, and officials of the department are involved, it also hampers their ability subsequently to keep those implementing agents accountable, because they've been in cahoots. That front, we're really trying our best to make sure that the next cycle of appointment is absolutely clean, and then that we've learned and incorporated lessons in the terms of reference that will apply to the subsequent implementing agents. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Chairperson of SCOPA and the SCOPA team, but also let me acknowledge your presence, General Ntlemesa, as the head of the agency and your team. Chair, I think one should start by indicating that as a ministry, We commit to continue implementing our programs, and of course, we commit to improve where challenges are identified. Now, what is it that we have done to mitigate some of the key observations that have been shared with the committee hitherto? I must indicate that not only focusing on the, what I term the elephant in the room, which is, in this case, the driver of our irregular expenditure, which is the CWP issue. We have developed, as a department, a roadmap, a roadmap of getting to a level of an unqualified audit outcome. And I must indicate, Chair, that the roadmap was approved by the executive management, and currently that roadmap is being monitored. Now, on this one, as correctly cited by Deputy Minister Nair, the contracts of these implementing agents is coming to an end, of course, in line with the 3-year life cycle, and of course the new process to appoint new implementing agents has begun. Now, guiding this process is a new model on the approaching this CWP program. And at the center of this CWP program, or this new model, we are very specific on the terms of reference that need to be adhered to, more especially to deal with issues of governance and capacity of these agents. I think we're at a stage where one can easily say the elephant has fallen, now we are just determining how to eat the elephant, because the problem has been identified. Now what is key is how to solve the problem. That's where we are now. And that will lead to the redesign of the new contracts, of course considering challenges and developing more stringent terms to deal with identified challenges. So now, one must take this opportunity to thank the SCOPA for obviously taking us through this informative session on what is it that we need to look at to make sure that we improve on how we handle this problem, this program, but also thank SCOPA for obviously making it very clear to us that what type of information should be prepared for the sake of this SCOPA process. I think it was a very educative session, and I think it will go a long way also in assisting us to improve on the performance of this particular program. And I think over and above information requested, Chair, I think it will be very, very a good read for the members of the SCOPA and also the committee, the standing committee, to go through an assessment that was done on this program. Because to a large extent, this assessment too, albeit not specifically focusing on the questions posed, it helps to broaden the understanding of this particular program. But I must indicate what was said by Deputy Minister Ney is not necessarily an excuse on issues of compliance. Even if we involve community-based structures to implement this program, that doesn't imply we must drop the ball in as far as compliance is concerned. In fact, if there's anything to be perfected by us around issues of the management of the of public finance, is to assist this agency to comply, is to assist this community-based structures to comply. And that's why even at the beginning, we have all agreed that it's important that we come up with a different model, a model also that will assist us to improve our relationship working with other spheres of government, because this program is implemented at the local level, and we really need to make sure that at that level there is proper buy-in on this particular model. But also, as we move to the provincial level, we of course collaborate with provincial departments to give effect. So the capacity is an issue, I mean, for the department. It's worse now because of the recent budget cuts. So we'll have to find a way, and that is exactly explained in the new model proposal that we are currently entertaining in our as a collective of COCTA, that let's improve our relationship with provincial sector departments so as we are able to improve on issues of monitoring and evaluation of this particular, of this important program. But Chair, really on behalf of our team, I must take this opportunity to really thank you for having invited us, and I think we have taken some lessons, and these lessons will definitely assist us to improve on this particular program. It's a very, very critical program meant, of course, to deal with certain challenges that are facing our people. And I must indicate the model that we are referring to, Chair, is also dealing with some of the questions that we have posed as to how we improve issues of governance, but also as to how we improve issues of accountability within this whole program. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Comrade Minister. I think, comrades, when we reflect back on the recent interactions we've had, you realize that all departments that use implementing agents, this is a problem. So it is not something limited to COCTA, but I think government as a whole may need to look into this. Same problem with the water and sanitation. Same problem. How to ensure that, firstly, the implementing agents are appointed correctly. The appointment, that's where the problem starts. Then subsequently, how they then go out there and do their work and procure services. And of course, as you correctly pointed out, Comrade Deputy Minister, if an implementing agent is appointed irregularly in collusion with officials, those same officials are not going to hold them to the highest standards of governance. So it becomes, you know, a snowballing effect, right? So I think it might be an issue we may need to look at government-wise, where they're implementing agents. I think the challenges are the same. Or where money is transferred to lower levels, the monitoring, the accountability has always been a challenge. Whether it's transfers, whether it's DORA, it's always been a challenge. So it is something that we may need to look at. But I want to thank you very much for coming. I think we've had the acting DG, but also needed to hear the voice from the executive authority to give us that assurance that from your side as well, you assist with these matters to ensure that we move in the right direction.
When to receive the information that were requested from the department?
Okay. No, thank you. Now let's have the information, then we can then take it up from the DG. Can we have the information, say, by next week Wednesday? Is that fine?
That should be fine.
That's fine, Comrade Deputy Minister.
No, I think a number of members have alluded to the fact that obviously some of that information would be treated in confidence by the committee, because there are ongoing it's not sub judice in that technical sense, but there are ongoing investigations and there are processes that would lead to disciplinary processes. So if the information could just be treated accordingly.
Yeah. No. So far, I think from our side, I've been very happy with the way members have treated information that we have received. Unlike my previous experiences with information, I think we'll handle it in that context. But I just want to be absolutely sure, DG, we are together next week, Wednesday. We will get the information. And then evaluating the information that we have, we can then decide how we want to proceed. Right?
I just wanted to reiterate what I said to the Deputy Minister, is that it would be irresponsible of us to do anything with the information that would compromise an ongoing investigation. So we obviously committed to that, 100%.
All right. Great. Once again, thank you, comrades, for making time to be here. Our appreciation to the Office of the Auditor General for always being here. I always say sometimes it's a lazy day, but you never know. And we are thankful that you're always here, just in case. We almost had a just in case with Sandra, so he could have been handy to clear the matters. And also General Clemenza, we want to thank you. It's unfortunate you're not here yesterday. We had an issue that we think you could have. We think it requires your attention, because we can't have a situation where officials, senior officials in departments, get threatened by people who think they have a right to be corrupt, to a point where officials then leave the department because they have exposed certain things. We think those kind of things must be investigated so that those involved are brought to book. We're not a banana republic. We gave so much to be where we are. We can't just give it up just like that. So we want to thank you very much for being here. I think the case that they spoke to, I think you need to engage with them. Yeah, so you get the case number, but also the letter that they want, I think they need to be helped soonest so that it can be processed. Yes, comrade, is there something that is being left out?
No, apologies, Chair. I was told that you don't speak after the head, the senior person has spoken. Now, to the case of yesterday, which if Hawks was here, would have evaluated it. Actually, what happened yesterday, the person called our office. He was watching. He could identify the people. He called my office, and I have information that whatever was that transpired yesterday and the information we were given is actually incorrect. We were told that the car was tampered with. His car was actually shot at. At some point, he had to go around wearing a bulletproof, and he is in hiding.
All right. It's fine. Let's do this, General. I'll interact with the comrades, and then we can then take it up from there. And we're talking about an official in the Department of Defense. We're talking about a CFO at that level. Just cannot be. Can't allow those kind of things. Just as we heard that there was a department where the officials met and took a decision that they will challenge any finding of the Auditor General that is negative, the department and its entities. Now, you can't have those kind of things. You can't allow those kind of things to happen. Otherwise, we're moving backwards instead of moving forward. So, no, thanks, comrade, for that information. I think let's process that and see how we... Yes, comrade.
No, it's just a comment. Just thinking on my feet, really.
Sure.
That one hopes that we are at one with the need to fight corruption and to do everything and then apart to ensure that these issues are addressed. And that institutions like the NPA,
the Hawks.
The Hawks, so we expect, are there to assist to fight the problem and not to be they themselves to become part of the problem by getting compromised. It's just a general statement.
Okay.
I think it's important.
All right.
Because this thing that we're talking about of the short debt and so on, and it's really very, very worrying. But it suggests also syndicates and other kinds of groupings that are in place and so on, which is very, very important.
Okay. All right. No. Thanks, comrade. I think we had a process for the Hawks to be here, and I think the foundation is exactly. As you've pointed out, and would want to keep it this way, so that we can do what is good. You know, I like that Leninist dictum: everything for the people, nothing against the people. That should be the guiding line. So, comrades, next week Tuesday, I understand there's a joint sitting on the 22nd, so we'll have no hearing. But the 23rd, it's social development, SASA. And we will... And the 30th is SASA. and the 29th, I think we'll see what to do. So thank you very much. Till we meet next week.